recorded live.
It's okay.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also have a show for the women in your lives that features three female moderators and runs tonight at the exact same time with the exact same topic. You can get more info about either show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Again, that website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in either one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So let your voice be heard on the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable. And furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The virtual talk shows always present the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is the marriage I've always wanted, a new marriage in a new year. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot, a ventriloquist, and I might even DJ just a slight bit this evening, but more on that later. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion by midnight. That's right, I said midnight, because this flight is going to take a little bit longer than usual. Stay on as long as your schedule permits, but I'm going to be on here until midnight, and I would guarantee that you won't want to hang up before then. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. And if you don't, you just prefer to listen, that's fine too. And I still have this. That's the seatbelt sound when you're on an airplane. When you hear that sound, it means to take your seat and buckle your seatbelts because it's about to get a little bumpy. That sound is just to put you on notice that it might get a little uncomfortable. And fellas, I'm predicting that there's going to be a whole lot of turbulence tonight. And tonight at 10 p.m. sharp, I'll be unveiling for the first time ever what I call the 30-minute monkey wrench. That's because it's going to take approximately 30 minutes for y'all to process it all. So please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. First question of the evening, what was the purpose of you getting married? What was the purpose of you getting married?
Which time?
Anytime. Anytime. What was the purpose of you getting married? Go ahead, Andrew.
Time I was getting the milk, and it was time to buy the calf.
I hear that. But what I'm getting
the next time I got caught up in the okey-doke.
Mhm.
The third time I understood what God had to say, and I wanted to honor Him.
Good words. Good words. Anybody else? What was the purpose of you getting married? And what I mean by that, fellas, is what are you trying to accomplish in marriage? For example, is it for companionship? Is it to share love? Is it to provide a home for the children? Is it for sex? Is it for social acceptance? An economic advantage, security, et cetera, et cetera. What are you trying to accomplish in marriage?
I would say security.
Security? Good words, brother. You want to expand on that?
You can kind of look at it many ways. basically, you know, no one wants to go their entire lives alone. So you want to secure, you know, that factor and that aspect of your life. Also, you want to secure your, make sure you can secure times, you know, have your nights alone. You know, it could be a time you were in a relationship for a while, and it could be a time where you're not in a relationship and you find yourself, you know, making TV dinners all the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you fall in love and you find that companion, you know, that every night you come home, you got steak and potatoes waiting for you. You know, it's just, you know, it's all around security, you know, having that security, having that that extra half of you, you know, when you walk into the door, there's somebody there to meet you, and just not an answering machine, you know, or your pet or anything like that. You know what I mean? Something to come home to.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? What are you trying to accomplish in marriage, if anything?
I would say to have more consistency in your life.
Okay.
Being single a lot of times is a guessing game because you don't know who you're going to end up with. You find yourself in bars and clubs and Walmart and places like that trying to meet someone. And again, you don't know who you're going to end up with. So it's like a guessing game as far as what's going to happen. Once you get married, it's a little bit more consistent. You don't have those issues anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the biggest issue y'all may have is where you're going to eat dinner. You know, what movie you're going to go see or whatever the case may be, but it's going to be a consistent person there with you all of the time.
Good words, good words. In your own words, what is the ideal marriage? What's the ideal marriage?
When the husband and wife are truly best friends.
Mm. Good words, good words. Anybody else? The ideal marriage? What is the ideal marriage?
Honestly, I think the ideal marriage is you both have something to bring to the table. I know everybody, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, well, a person has to be compatible, or you want somebody that, you know, like has the same things that you like, or, you know, wants the same things out of life that you do. But when you bring a difference, you know, when you have two individuals bringing something to the table, it makes room for compromise. And I think that's what keeps spontaneity in a marriage. You know, you don't want somebody, you know what I mean? You don't want somebody that has that equal exact same thing as you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it to me, that would be a boring thing. So actually just bring in compromise. You know, to me, that's the ideal marriage, having somebody that, you know, is opposite of me, but at the same time, you know, can equal me.
Mm. Good words, good words. Is a perfect marriage an ideal marriage?
What's a perfect marriage?
No such thing.
Never such thing.
Mm. No such thing as a perfect marriage.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by perfect, or close to perfect, is the marriage you've always wanted a marriage that meets all of your wants, needs, and desires? Meets all of your wants, needs, and desires.
I don't think that's possible. I mean, you know, how is somebody going to meet all your wants, needs, and desires?
And you only got one woman, too?
Oh, man, good words, good words.
I mean, I'm saying, you know, that's a lot of stress to put on one person, you know, because we've all have different tastes. We all have different variety or whatever. And, you know, you want a person that's going to get as close to all of your different varieties as possible. But I don't think you're going to get anybody to just, you know, especially with men, our varieties change from year to year. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you get someone close enough, then I think you're in a good place.
Good words, good words. Well, I want to drop this on you. Have you ever shared with your wife the marriage you've always wanted? Have you ever shared with your wife the marriage that you've always wanted?
If it ain't what you're in, brother, I hope you got a nice comfy couch. Because the answer to that, and the, you know what I mean, that overall conversation, it better solidify the marriage that you're in.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that conversation there, I mean, you know, like somebody just said, it's just hard to believe that, you know, you're going to get all your wants and desires met. But it's something to aspire to. You know, you can put your cards out on the table. You can, you know, say we can work to this. But that is what a marriage is about. You got to be able to put, you know, once you get married, man, I've said this analogy before, it's a full-time job. You clock in. You never clock out. You're never off. Even when you're off work, you're never off.
Yeah.
Even when you're sleeping, you're still working. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that you can aspire to have all your wants and needs. And I mean, it's a journey in itself. That conversation, your ideal marriage, you better be talking about the one that you're in. That better be your ideal.
Good words. And I want to dig into it a little further. And what I meant with that question is, did you communicate your expectations clearly before you got married? Or did you just think that she would magically figure it out? Did you communicate your expectations clearly before you got married, or did you just think that she would magically figure it out?
Well, for me, we definitely had a conversation before we got married about it. You know, so it was definitely something we talked about, you know, on a regular basis, of what we both expected in a marriage and understood in a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Words. Anybody else? Did you communicate your expectations clearly before you got married, or did you just think that she would magically figure it out? Now, I think that they think we should magically be able to figure it out, but I'm talking about you. Did you communicate your expectations before you got married?
I don't think I communicated expectations. I think I communicated what I've been through personally in other relationships.
And what you didn't want.
And what you didn't want. Because obviously if your relationships prior to her worked, then you wouldn't be who you're with now.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So for me to you know, learn from my experiences in past relationships and to just conversate that, I mean, eventually, you know, if she's smart enough, she'll catch on today. Okay, well, that's not what he desires.
Yeah, good words. But, I mean, let me ask you this. Did you think that all of your expectations will be met when you walk down the aisle?
No.
I didn't.
Nah.
No.
Like I said, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. No.
Anybody else? Did you think that all of your expectations would be met when you walked down that aisle?
I thought they would.
Okay, speak on it, bro. Expand on that.
Well, I mean, my expectations was that I was going to marry a woman of God that had Christ in her heart, that we would have Christ at the center of our marriage, and we'd be able to work together through challenges, the good and the bad, with him at the center of our marriage. That was my expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I wasn't expecting her to provide me happiness, and I wasn't expecting for her to be my end-all, be-all of everything. I expected her to be my partner. And, again, you know, having been down the road and understanding what a marriage was and what it wasn't, I think there's people that have expectations of a marriage and don't really understand what a real marriage is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because marriage is like that new present that you got for Christmas. I mean, you have the expectation that it will work when you first turn it on. But did you read the instructions first? Maybe you don't know how to correctly operate or to turn her on. Have you given your marriage what it requires so that it works and operates properly. Heavy stuff, heavy stuff. But moving on, following up on that, have you continued to express what you want in your marriage, or did you stop a long time ago? Have you continued to express what you want in your marriage, or did you just stop a long time ago?
You have to continue to kind of, you know, verbalize what you want out of your marriage, because if not, one or either both of you might become complacent or comfortable. And that's, to me, I've spoken on it before, that's, you know, once you become comfortable, it can deal with a lot of things. You know, the person that you married, walk down the aisle with, is the most beautiful person in the world. But a couple of years down the road, they begin to get older, you know, not really care about themselves and their well-being anymore. And that's not what you were attracted to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So yeah.
It's one of those things that you have to continue to express. You know, it's not necessarily likes or dislikes, but, you know, where you see yourself, you know, being in your marriage and what you want out of your marriage and the reason why you married that person. Because you have your reasons why you married who you married.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think also, just to piggyback on that too, you have to find different angles of communication to express yourself. Because sometimes we know one way to express ourselves, and it may not be effective. You can't give up. You just got to find a common ground level of communication, something that they'll understand, something that kind of makes sense. You know, sometimes we get discouraged too quickly. And I think that, you know, again, we need to sometimes take it to where they're at mentally so we can get our point across.
Yeah, yeah, and y'all are actually driving, you know, right where we need to be, because I want to drop this on y'all. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she changes back to how she used to be when y'all were dating?
Mm.
That's strong. That's strong. I mean, is the marriage you've always wanted if she changes back to how she used to be when y'all were dating?
You said if? You said if she changes back? You said
yeah.
If, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or when, you know, if or when.
Or when. Oh, okay.
Either or.
I can't even honestly say, because she's still the same. You know, she's still the same person I fell in love with 11 years ago. So that question had to be for somebody else.
Well, who's it for? It's for somebody. I know I'm driving down somebody's street. I'm ringing somebody's doorbell.
I honestly don't think that it's really, really realistic to go back to that person on either side of the coin.
Mm.
Because we were different people when we were dating. We all were. I like to believe. I mean, well, let me just speak for myself. I was different. My wife was different. We were all, you know, most people are on their best behavior. Certain things don't come out. You know, we're all trying, we all have a sense of purpose. You know, we're trying to get to a certain place. And once you achieve that goal, then you can let your guard down, you get more comfortable and say, okay, well, you know, these are the things about me that you really don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically what you're getting at is that, you know, we change, but we also evolve. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Good words, fellas, good words. Keeping it moving, is the marriage you've always wanted? When y'all finally get that house with the picket fence and the dog in the neighborhood that y'all have always wanted?
Honestly, I'm going to say no, because kind of going through that situation and going through that season at that time, getting a house and everything, it caused added stress and caused ill-advised arguments.
Mm.
And you know, it just because you do get that house, you know, and a lot of people think that that actually, you know, is the idea of the American family. You know, you have the house, you have the nice job, you have the cars, you have the kids, the wife, the family, and everything, and everybody thinks that, you know what I'm saying, that's that ideal American family. But, it, you know, sometimes it just isn't that way. You know, having the material things like that, you know, like I said before, can't really solidify what you want out of your marriage. So there has been times where it took a test on us, you know what I mean? And to this day, you know, sometimes it still will. You know, as long as I know I got her to fight alongside of me and not against me, you know, this house means nothing.
Yeah, well, what about, let me ask you this. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she lets you buy that car or motorcycle that you've always wanted?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I found that money and things do not buy happiness.
Mm.
The lack of money buys misery.
Mm. It works.
When you don't have enough to pay your bills, it's miserable. You know,
yeah.
just because you have enough to comfortably live your lifestyle, you know, does not buy happiness. And you can be miserable, you know, I mean, look at how many quote unquote rich people end up taking their own lives.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if money was the key, they'd be the happiest people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, money just takes care of one problem, the electric bill. I mean, you're not sitting around wondering how you're going to keep the phone on this month. But it's replaced with an abundance of other problems. You know, and that just takes care of one thing. But if you don't know how you're going to pay the rent this month and you're worried about the eviction notice on the door, that's a whole different ballgame. That will cause misery.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're worried if you stopped at the 7-Eleven and got a Slurpee, and you're all pissed off because she comes in with a big gulp. It's because of the stress of the, you know, the bill collectors calling and all that kind of stuff, and you don't have it together, and you feel bad because you can't find a job or you don't have enough money or you're underemployed, and you know, you want, women don't understand what is on a man's plate, and they can never understand that. I don't care if the woman is single and raising kids, women can never understand what being a man is. Okay, because we have it built in us that we are responsible. No matter what the circumstances is, as men, as real men, it's on us, and we know it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean a woman can't help. That means you don't feel pressure. It just means that a man, he knows it's on him. And if he's not doing, a man can't look himself in the mirror.
Well, let me ask you this, fellas, speaking right on that note that brother's talking about, is the marriage you've always wanted when y'all get out of debt? I mean, just imagine no more arguments over money, shopping, bills, you know, she got the big goal, as the brother said. You know, is the marriage you've always wanted when y'all get out of debt?
It makes it easier to attain, you know, if it's not there. And like I said, it's something that you know, you're going to always work on. It just makes everything a little easier when you don't have extra added stress. You know, it doesn't have to be monetary. It could be time. It could be work schedules. You know, things of that nature. When it comes to, you know, where you have less stress in your marriage, you know, to me, that it, you know, that gets closer to your ideal man. You know, you don't have to walk. You want to come home and have to walk on eggshells, or, you know, not have that sit-down conversation, and, you know, your family sitting in the living room together playing Wii, and you're watching the kids play Wii, and you guys are sitting enjoying that atmosphere. When you have extra added stress on the outside, and anything could anything can just throw you off your path of trying to have an ideal marriage. Anything.
Mm-hmm. Good word.
Well, what about walking on the beach in Aruba in January?
Oh man, this guy.
But is that the ideal marriage?
Well, I mean, what you're talking about is, you know, literally, is does the marriage you've always wanted include more vacations and travel? That's the question. That's what the brother's asking. Does the marriage you've always wanted include more vacations and travel?
The reason I say that is my ex-wife, I took her all over the world, and the last year and a half we were married, it was miserable, and I've been in some absolutely knock-your-socks-off incredible places and been absolutely miserable. I mean, I was on the Big Island of Hawaii, had a two-bedroom suite with five balconies overlooking the Pacific Ocean, watching the humpback whales jump every morning, watching the sunset right off the balcony every night. Could have put 50 people on the main balcony. Beautiful place, absolutely stunning. Little boats take you from the check-in desk to your room. Unbelievable and miserable as you can be.
Let me ask you a question on that note. I'm pretty sure you were miserable prior to going there, but did you think that different environment would kind of spice up things in the relationship?
Absolutely. I was trying to put it together, and she was trying to run away. And what I found out was the Bible was right when it said, if you're with somebody and they want to leave, let them go. You ain't going to crazy glue it to you. So, yes, I was trying to make it work, but she was trying to run away.
Yeah, and I know I speak from experience myself. I know probably about a year ago, you know, we were in a bad spot, and, you know, I took her to a nice hotel, took the wife to a nice hotel for the weekend for her birthday, and it was just miserable. And I thought it, you know, would spice things up and get us in a better place, but it didn't, because we weren't in the right place before we went. And I was thinking that, oh, you know, this nice, the ambiance, you know, the events, you know, everything, you know, just the weekend itself would just smooth all of that stuff over. And it absolutely did not. Didn't know.
Nope.
It was like we didn't even go. You know, we got back home. It's like, all right, we're still in the spot. You know,
yeah.
But, you know, thankfully, you know, we've got over that. But, you know, good words, fellas, good words. And
do you know how often that's a common mistake of us men, is that we let something go too far, you know what I mean, too far off, and then the easiest thing to do is try to make a quick fix out of it and think it's going to fix everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it took you all a while to get there. It's going to take you all a while to work that kink out.
Mm-hmm. Right. And another mistake we make is we try to throw money at the problem.
Yep.
Tony, you just right where we need to be, brother.
Yeah.
Because the next question is the marriage you've always wanted when one of y'all starts making some more money?
Hmm.
I mean, come on, talk to me. When one of y'all starts making some more money up in here?
I'll let you know when I get there.
Tell you one thing, if you're miserable when you're broke, you'll be miserable when you're rich.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, you know, lack of money gives you a lot of stress. But if you're pulling together, it can be a positive thing that y'all are working together, not attacking each other. Okay? Some of the best times I've ever had were the struggle to get from broke.
Yeah.
Because we were fighting together. You know, and it's still not pleasant not to have enough, but you're not, it's not like, you know, you're turning on each other. Now, if you're turning on each other when that's the situation, then when you get out of it, you're still going to be at each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the best times I have right now, sitting out on my deck with my wife, just chilling and doing nothing. We don't have to go anywhere. Although Aruba in January is pretty nice. It's snowing right now.
Good words, brother. Good words, good words. Continuing on, fellas, is the marriage you've always wanted when you or her gets a new job? You know one of y'all has been complaining about that job you have, or she has. Is the marriage you've always wanted when one of y'all gets a new gig?
I'm a little confused with the question, and let me say why.
Okay.
Because the question is, you know, and the topic is, you know, the marriage that you've always wanted. And I think some of these examples are examples of the marriage that you have. You know what I mean? And I don't really know a lot of guys that have always wanted a certain marriage, I'm thinking. I thought there was, you know, women always wanted that, you know, that wedding, the marriage. I thought that we may be the ones that would try to stay single as long as possible. I don't really know if I ever had, like, a dream marriage scenario, but that might just be me.
Well, I'm going to tell you I have.
Okay.
Okay. When you are in a miserable marriage, okay, especially if you're a Christian, I'm just talking for me. When I found myself 40 years old and single and a Christian, I had one of three choices: single and celibate, going out and gunslinging, or getting remarried.
Yeah.
Now, some of you brothers can pull a single and celibate off. That ain't me.
Me neither.
Just being honest, man. I mean, you know, some of y'all, you know, you've been blessed with that. Brother needs some snatch, okay? Put it out there, you know, and some of y'all can do it. That ain't me, all right? So, you know, I mean, what's a guy going to do? He's going to gunsling, right? Well, you know, I found myself as a Christian, I couldn't do that. I mean, the Holy Spirit kept whipping me, man. I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay? At that point, I yearned for a godly marriage that I never had before. So, yeah, I wanted a marriage. I wanted a good marriage.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of respects, that's why we get on here every Tuesday night. You know, it's you're striving towards, you know, improving, you know, just tweaking around the edges, you know, but the brother's right, you know, we may already be there. But I think that's why we're striving to improve our situations by getting on here and talking about some things. But, you know, speaking on the job, I want to stay on the job for a moment here. And I know this is on my street, but is the marriage you've always wanted when she decreases the amount of responsibility she has at her job?
Meaning that she's home a lot more?
No, if she's home, you know, she's not engaged in what y'all are doing. Like, she's doing work stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's your time, she's, you know, doing something for work. Or she has a project due, or this is due tomorrow. It's always something. It's like work, work, work. So she may be home some more. But also, you have what I'm talking about is if she's home and engaged in what y'all are doing. If that makes any sense.
You know, I think the marriage that we always wanted is the balanced marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The marriage we always wanted, you know, we don't want it all to be on us. We would like our wives to kick in financially and in other ways. We don't want everything to fall only on us. We don't want to feel like we're just being used and you're sitting around eating bonbons. At least I don't want to feel like that. Okay. But I think we want to balance between, you know, those things and other responsibilities, because there's times when, you know, I got to say to my wife, because we stay really busy, I got to say, hey, you know, when is it going to be husband time again?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm feeling neglected. And she knows enough now to know, she hardly ever says to me, hey, how about, you know, how about some time for me? It's almost always me saying, hey, how about some time for me? And in that manner, I think I'm more needy than she is.
Good words. And speaking of me time.
I keep giving you these great segues, don't I?
Great. Wonderful. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she gives you your space by just letting you do your own thing sometimes, whether that be hanging out with the fellas, playing golf, working out, doing a hobby, watching TV by yourself, taking a nap, playing video games, household stress on Tuesdays, or just doing whatever you want to do? Is the marriage you've always wanted when she gives you a little of your space back, letting
did
you do
miss,
your own thing?
Brother,
did
you mention playing golf?
Yeah, I did mention playing golf. Absolutely.
This is an area where I tread lightly.
Okay, speak on it.
Reason being is because, you know, I do have a motorcycle. To me, that's my me time. You know,
mm-hmm.
I get out, I have, you know, nothing to think about but, you know, me, open road, and people on the road. And, you know, and I enjoy doing it. We usually get into conversations. You know, my wife is we just actually talked about it a few minutes ago. You know, I was sitting here watching basketball before the game come on, and she's like, honey, I feel like you haven't talked to me all night. And first thing I said was, I've been sitting right here in the living room with you, you know, all night long. You know, maybe it's just no conversation to talk about. That was the wrong answer. But, you know, for me, you know, to say that I would like to have my me time, you know, it's of consequences are going to be involved in that.
Mm.
Because my wife is the kind of person, she likes that togetherness. She likes that, you know, because we have, you know, the kind of work schedules we have, you know, we do get so few time, you know, to be together, you know, for a long extended period of time. You know, I'll have every other weekend off, or, you know, past this Christmas season, I've been working like crazy. So it really hasn't been that time. So she really, really, you know, when that time is available, she really wants this to be us, you know. And as men, sometimes, you know, when that time does come available, we want that time to unwind as men. But like I said, there comes consequences. If I say, you know what, that time comes available, and you know you're supposed to spend it with your wife, but you want that man time, you know, I have to wonder if once I come back to the house, once I pull that bike into the garage, am I going to get the silent treatment?
Right.
Am I not going to get the love? Am I not going to get the intimacy? And as a dude, I worry about that. So that's why I say, you know, I tread that area a little bit lightly. The ideal, you know, marriage for me, you know, the communication bit and all that, you know, but I would love for my wife to be understanding to saying, okay, I understand you need your woman time, but a man does need, you know, his man time.
Yeah.
And then when we reconnect, you know, there's no attitude about it, you know what I mean? And to me, I would like that to kind of improve, and that's something that we can attain to, you know. So like I said, with that being a part of the marriage, you know, an ideal marriage is something that you strive for. I don't think that it's a lot to say when you're ever going to have that ideal marriage. You just got to keep working at it. But that's a big aspect that we need to work on.
Yeah, and I'll say for me personally, it's taking a nap, because I got two little kids, and I do get a nap probably both days on the weekend, because I'm very active in what they're doing and, you know, putting them to bed and all that stuff, getting them up, dressed, and all that good stuff. So, but I know that I make sure that my wife gets her nap, because she also naps and everything. We both napping at some point. But I make sure that everything is right. You know, the house is quiet. I take the phone off the hook. You know, I mean, literally, I make sure that her nap is not disturbed. But when it comes to me, the kids are loud running around, and it's like, Rodney, you still sleeping? And it's like, come on, let me get my time. Do I bother you when you napping? No. You know, let me get, this is my time, this is my me time. And I just don't feel that, sometimes I just don't feel that she gives me that same respect when it comes to nap time. Because like I said, we both get our naps, but I make sure that when she goes down, you know, because it's not, you know, it might be, oh, you know, I'm about to take a nap. And it's like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, literally, I prepare the house. I take the kids. We go outside. I go to the basement, or I take them to the store or something. Take the phone off the hook. I make sure that her nap is not disturbed. But,
right.
You know,
right.
Sometimes I don't get that same respect. So, good words, fellas. Good words. This is going great. I want to ask this question. I'm gonna squeeze this in. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she puts the seat up after she's done? I mean, come on, fellas. I mean, we put it down. She can put it up. And come on.
You ought to start a petition on that. I like that.
Yeah, y'all feel me on that. You know, I'm telling you, come on, you can put the seat up. I got to put it down, you put it up, you know.
But I got good aim, so I ain't even going to argue.
Oh, man.
Why do we always have to put it down? Why is it up to, why don't they put it up?
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
I never thought about that.
We need to start a petition. To take the same energy to just reverse movement.
I can't throw no argument. She cleaned the toilets, man. I cannot throw no argument. I ain't even gonna argue with the toilet. She got mad at me.
What did you just say, brother? You just said she what?
She cleans the toilets, man.
Perfect segue to where we need to go next. Man, this is great. I'm loving this, fellas. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she starts cooking and cleaning a little more?
I guess I got that ideal marriage, dog, because that's her forte. That's just what she do.
That's good. I know some brothers ain't feeling that. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she starts cooking and cleaning just a little bit more? Just a little bit more. A little bit more. She do all right, but she could do better.
I wish she let up, honestly. Because my wife's the kind of person, she hasn't been diagnosed, but I believe she's, you know, suffers from a little OCD. And she I call her the human vacuum cleaner, because my kids' rooms are spotless. If there is a toy out, if they leave that toy for a maximum of 5 minutes, it is put back. I'm telling you, no lie. It is put back. My daughter has everything she could possibly imagine. We counted, she has 12 doll babies. Those doll babies have a place. If she takes them out and she leaves them, they are back. I cannot complain about how my wife takes care of this house.
So let me flip it around on you. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she starts cleaning a little less? She lets you leave your shoes in the middle of the floor when you come home. She lets you leave your coat on the back of the dining room chair, or your work stuff on the kitchen table. You know, granted, y'all can still eat, but
that would drive me crazy if she was picking everything up and I couldn't put anything anywhere. I wouldn't feel like I was at home. I'm serious. Making the bed, you know, before you get out of it, that would drive me nuts.
I think a brother talked about that. She makes the bed. I think last week, brother said she makes the bed while he's in it or sitting on it or something.
Mm. I mean, my wife even says that if the house is not picked up or cleaned before she leaves to work, it will throw her entire, and she's a teacher, it'll throw her entire day off.
Mm.
It will throw her entire day off. We have a deal. I take care of the outside. She take care of the end. Whether it be wash the car, cut the grass. And remember, I talked about this before. This is why I go outside.
Yeah. So you ain't gotta You don't know how to do it right inside anyway. You ain't getting it clean enough.
Nah, it's not, brother. You're absolutely right. It's not.
Well, I want y'all to listen to this this clip. It's about a minute and a half, you know, just about what we're talking about, and then we'll move this thing along. Minute and a half, fellas.
Out of being in the kitchen and cooking and cleaning. So for the modern woman, as modern women, is that something we don't desire? To be in the kitchen and cooking and cleaning?
It's not that I don't desire it. It's just that I don't want to be the only one doing it. You know, like, if we got a house, we should clean. If we have children, we need to cook. Or we need to eat out. You know what I'm saying? But, like, all of the cooking and the cleaning on me every day? Nah. And I have a full-time job as a modern woman? Nah.
But what if
a woman does exactly, a single parent,
that it
does exactly those things.
Say it again?
A single parent woman, a single mother, does exactly what you just talked about. She comes home and cooks every day. She comes home and she cleans every day. And she goes to work. I was one of those single mothers.
Right.
Who did that every day.
Right, but if I'm not a single woman, if I have a husband, why should I have to function like one?
So what if you did, let's just say you did all the cooking, and I think you said cleaning?
Mm-hmm.
And he did, he fully took care of the kids, helped with educating them, and did all the laundry.
I mean, as long as we working it out. I'm not even saying that it has to be 50-50, but, like, I just can't see in my mind functioning as a single parent in a relationship with another person in my household. Because essentially that other person becomes, if I got two kids, he becomes the third one. And then on top of that, he wants me to have sex with him. So I gotta wash your clothes, cook your dinner, clean your plates, work all day, iron your clothes, and you want booty? Something's gotta give.
Stop that right there. That's enough.
I stopped it right there. That's enough. Because if you look up at the clock, what time is it, fellas? What time is it? We're gonna chop that little piece of information up right there. Because it's time. Huh?
That's 2 hours in itself.
No, we're not. Well, yeah, it's 10 o'clock. We got 2 hours to go. Here we go, fellas. You're about to enter the 30-minute monkey wrench. Pay attention.
All I really need is a little bit. Not a lot, baby girl, just a little bit. We can head to the crib in a little bit. I can show you how I live in a little bit. I wanna unbutton your pants just a little bit. Take them all and pull them down just a little bit. Get the kissing and touching a little bit. Get the f***ing in a little bit.
Is the marriage you've always wanted when you can just get a little bit more booty? The adult hour, fellas. We're going into the adult hour. We're taking it up a notch. Is the marriage you've always wanted when you could just, as the brother just sang, all I need is a little bit. If you can get a little bit more booty.
You know, that never hurt.
Never hurt. Talk to me, fellas. I'm on your street. Talk to me.
We get a little bit more of that. More of that.
They
get a lot more of what they need.
It's a trade-off.
I want to go back to that phone call because she was talking about, and obviously that was the woman's call. She was talking about that sex was a job.
Right. That's why I said you got to stop that right there because she either she real angry or, you know, like she just had, it's almost like a daily routine for her. And it almost sounded like she was tired of doing it.
That's right. That was a job. And see, that's one of the real issues when, in other words, you don't want me. It's like, okay, this is your duty.
Mm.
That's a problem for me.
that was, she was really going off. And then when she hit that at the end, and then I got to have it, that's almost like she didn't want to do it in the first place.
That's right. And I got to have sex. Something got to give.
And that's what's got to go, huh?
Well, it was. In other words, you're going to be on restriction. Oh, don't get me started.
But to her point, fellas, I hate to take the ladies side here, but to her point, if we was helping out a little bit more, would it be a job to her at that point?
But see, I can understand that, but just like I said right when we started this segment here, all we need is a little bit, and you get a lot more.
Yeah, but see, when sex is used as a reward, in other words, if you do this, you get a little cookie. I mean, that's a problem. And when women think like that, that's a problem, okay? Because it's not a reward. It's not a, if you do this, you get a little sniff. That's a problem.
Too much control.
But the things that, trust me, man, the things that we do, and if we do it right, that is our end reward. If we can actually mop this floor a little bit better, that's going to spark her off. If we can make that dinner the way that she like it, that's our end result. That's just on my side.
Anybody else want to agree or disagree with the brother?
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, I agree that using sex as a reward is not ideal. It's not how it's supposed to be done. But do we do that too? If she's giving it up good, you know, we doing it every night in the week. You know, we got a little bit more spring in our step to do stuff around the house and do this, that, and the other.
Word up.
You know? So she just rewarded it. I mean, you know, I'm just keeping it real. Not to say that it's right or wrong, but.
Word.
I mean, I know that's how I am.
Picking the kids up from school.
Yeah.
You ain't got to bring them home. I got them today.
Exactly.
I do that today. That's me today. I'm combing the daughter's hair tonight. I'll comb it back. You go on and sit right there. This is from what you did for me. I got you.
It's like, what you need me to do, honey?
That's it.
What do you want me to do? You want me to wash the car? What do you want me to do? You want me to vacuum? You got a load of clothes to put in?
What do you want me to do? I mean, if she was giving it like she did the night before for you to do that next day, you going to look for that. And in turn, you're going to get better at the things you need to get done.
And I think women don't know. I'm spilling the beans here, but literally, like, after this, like right after it's over, man, she can be like, I want you to run around the house in your boxes. You know, I mean, you'd be like, okay. You know, after it's over, she'd be like, go down and get them clothes out the dryer.
Word.
Or go down and unload that dishwasher. It'd be 11:30 at night. You know, you're ready to conk out. She'd be like, I want you to go actually and vacuum my car out. I know it's late. We might wake up the neighbors, but I want you to go ahead and do that. So when I go to work in the morning, my car will be nice and vacuumed, and, you know, everything will be good. They don't realize they got that power.
Got the power.
Good word. So anybody else want to chew on that? Because I've got a part two to that clip that, fellas, when I play it for you, this was so deep, and it's, you know, right where we are right on the sex piece. It is so deep, I had to listen to it about five or six different times because I had never heard this before. So it's about 2.5 minutes, but wait until it gets to the end. This is, when you hear it, I'm telling you, fellas, you're going to be like, wow, that's what it is. So listen for yourself. Check this out. 2 minutes.
Yeah. I got a problem when they say, you know, before they get married, she's a freak. When she gets married, she's sister or a saint or whatever the case may be. She's a nun.
Right.
That's their complaint. That she did everything to get me and did all kinds of stuff. We get married and now, you know, it's not the same. It's like she's kind of cut back on everything.
And I would argue it goes both ways.
I mean, yeah, like for me personally, when I was with my husband, when I was dating him, we were having sex. Before we were married, I didn't believe I was doing something right. I mean, I still did it, but I didn't think I was doing something right. So, to me, that was a form of sin. So when we got married, and it was like I wanted to, I took that as an opportunity, or as an opportunity to be good and be right, and you know, okay, I'm married now. So now that I'm married, you know, let me put my sinful ways behind me. And it was tricky for me to distinguish between the two, because, you know, I did what I did before I got married, and I felt like it was wrong. So now that I'm married, is it really okay for me to feel comfortable doing what I felt was wrong before? You know, like, I wasn't making the connection to the fact that I'm married now. Now that I'm married, it's okay. Yeah, it's, now that I'm married, I can feel better about, you know, the fact that I'm having sex with him. Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying.
I mean,
and this is certainly the difference in my thinking. I've been like, oh, I'm married now. I can really be freaky.
And let me just say this too, though. It is, and it's like not even with him, but, you know, with other people that I had sex with prior to my husband, again, I'm thinking and remembering and associating those experiences, thinking of those experiences as negative ones, because they were, you know, they were done from a sin, you know, with a sinful mindset. So now that I'm married, you know, let me leave those evil ways behind me. You know, that's how I initially thought of it. And it took me having to have conversations with my husband about it and communicate about it to come to understand and to believe that, okay, we're married. You know, whatever we do is what we do, and I shouldn't feel bad about it because we're married. You know, that's what we're supposed to do.
Wow. A little lengthy, fellas, but wow. Anybody want to speak on that, what the lady said, tying those experiences back?
Is that what happened to the knee pads?
That's what's wrong.
But that was funny.
I kind of
understand where she's coming from. But, I mean, married or not married, sexually, I think you still need to be all you can be.
Yeah.
Amen.
You need to be all you can be. You know, I mean, especially getting into a situation where now you're married and it's legal. You know,
yeah.
Be all you can be. I mean, just the whole, just that makes me believe that at some point she might have been holding back on something. You know.
Just holding back all along.
Holding back all along, you know, and that right there is a big no-no. Big no-no.
Why do you think I made in my prayer?
Good words, good words.
Yeah, I can relate to that, fellas, on a personal level, not to that same extent, but when my wife and I were dating, you know, we started out, we having sex and doing the whole thing. We decided to get married, and we started marriage counseling, and decided, you know, to start abstaining. Well, that was probably where things changed. So she became what we considered the gatekeeper. She was the one, when we decided to abstain, that, you know, really helped us to continue and keep that commitment. You know, where I was, you know, having moments of weakness all over the place. So then once we got married, you know, it was almost like second. You know, no, let's not, you know, and I think that carried over a lot. It wasn't until we continued to study a lot of the materials that we, you know, gained in marriage counseling and things like that, and kind of learned about, you know, sex's role in the marriage, that she's been able to kind of release that. So, I mean, you know, I can definitely relate to that, and you know, hopefully they're kind of studying and kind of keeping up on how they can improve that, because that can really be devastating to a marriage. But, yeah, that's real. That happens.
Good words. Good words. Anybody else?
Yeah, I went through that same thing, too. I think I've told my story Matter of fact, I know I've told my story before. When we were living together prior to being married, and started going to church and realized that everything that we were doing was wrong. And we tried, you know, to stop. I think we might have made it 2 weeks, maybe a little longer. But what we had to do at that point is we had to really push forward the wedding date. You know, so I can't understand. Yeah, I mean, because I couldn't go. I was already sleeping in the same bed with this woman. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I was already, you know, there. And to go from sleeping in the same bed to sleeping in the same bed but not touching sexually is very difficult.
It has to be the most difficult thing you ever done in your life.
Yes, sir. I'd rather get a week from now.
And how many weeks did that, how long did you say that? I mean,
that made you push up the wedding, I know that much.
Yeah, yeah. I will say that she was, just like you, she was the enforcer of it. It was my decision that we stopped, and then she was the enforcer of it. And she did a pretty good job for, again, maybe 2 weeks, but I couldn't hold out any longer. So at that point, I just took the zero and said, okay, we need to hurry up and get married, and then we just continued living life the way we knew how to live it until we got married.
Wow. Mine was an entire 6 months, bro.
Six months. I couldn't.
I can't relate to anybody's story on here.
It took me a while because we did a lot of things backwards. You know, we got an apartment together. We also had she was pregnant with our son.
Okay.
When we got back in the church, and then it was 6 months, man, and that's a lot of car washes, bro.
Yeah.
That's a lot of car washing and grass cutting, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Working off that energy. Anybody else? If not, we're still in the 30-minute monkey wrench. Is the marriage you've always wanted when you start getting some more hit?
Grown folks talk show. Grown folks.
Yeah, we in adult hour, brother. You know how I do. After 10, talk to me, fella. Is the marriage you've always wanted when you start getting some more hair?
Yep. I think the marriage we always wanted was before the head stopped.
You know, we wanted that closed door action. Anything goes.
Mm. Speaking of anything goes, is the marriage you've always wanted where you can occasionally get a little peace in the morning before y'all have to go to work?
Oh yeah. I think you're going to get agreement from everybody.
This is still part of the 30-minute monkey wrench here. I've got more.
I mean, but you got to remember, that's the best time anyway, because, you know, your body's relaxed.
Good night's rest,
no stress. Everybody, you know, breath stinking.
That don't even matter.
You just,
to us anyway, they're like, don't kiss me, you know.
Let's just roll over then. I can go over another way. Put your back to me.
Y'all boys wild. Still, I've got a little more. Is the marriage you've always wanted, if she would start initiating more?
Yep.
Or
putting on some lingerie from time to time, T-shirt with no panties, just coming to bed wearing nothing but her birthday suit.
Talk to me, fellas.
She needs to start initiating more.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. I'm on everybody's street tonight.
I just want to get to the point where I don't have to get up just to go to the bedroom for it. I need to get it right where I'm standing.
She come get you. Wow.
Yeah.
You be down in the basement.
That's what's missing.
Yeah. You be watching the game.
No. He didn't say that. He didn't say she come. He's saying wherever they're at, it's the jump off.
Mm.
Exhibition. Exactly. I hope I'm saying this correctly. It's not always got to be planned in the bedroom.
Right.
The spontaneous piece right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Cialis commercial. You see them Cialis commercials? They be painting the house. They be painting the house and bam, they look at each other and just jump off.
Right there. Oh. Right there. They just jump
off. Y'all remember on the steps?
The room starts turning into a bedroom. All that
they be in the bathtub.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, you know what I mean, just get to the point where the position just uncomfortable. You know what I mean, but it's real.
Oh man, good chat, fellas. Good chat. I've got a little more. 8 seconds, fellas. Is the marriage you've always wanted if she occasionally was your private dancer?
Damn, you on my street.
Speak on it, brother. Speak on it. Speak on it. I'm ransacking your house right now.
Mm-mm. Oh, I'm sorry. Why do all those days have to stop? I mean, you know what I mean? Is it that you're not worthy? I mean, are men not worthy anymore for that? Or is that something like, well, I'm going to put the bait out there, get him, and then forget him? He's not worthy of that anymore.
I had run out of ink on one of my printers. I had to run out. It was about 11 o'clock on Saturday night. I had to print some pictures out. And luckily, Walmart was open. So I ran over to Walmart. And, you know, they only got a few lines open. So I stand in the line. Well, the lady in front of me, she was, you know, pretty cute, pretty sexy. And on her line, when she's putting her stuff up, man, she put up on there some sexy panties, some sexy sexy bra and some Trojans, and I thought, damn. Night.
You told it was going to be a good night for us.
Y'all remember those days? I mean, right up on the belt in front of me, I thought, dude is getting scored tonight.
She took care of everything.
Fucking sexy bra, thong, and a box of Trojans.
A box, not a single.
Trojans and
not
dude, and girl was sexy, and I thought, oh man, dude is getting rocked. I thought to myself, you don't know he's getting rocked. Cause he's like,
you better call him and warn him what's about to happen. What's about to go down?
He might be getting ready for work, man.
Good words, fellas. Good words.
Something that ain't happening during the marriage.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. What we talking about?
Well, I mean, but that doesn't sound like marriage. If she's buying a box of Trojan, she might be getting ready to go to work or something. You know, I don't know.
Oh man! Wow!
Man.
I didn't even think about that. Wow.
I don't know. She looked classy. She looked classy.
She was one of the escorts, not the regular joints on the corner.
Yeah. You know, I thought she wanted to get the most money.
Yeah. She one of them Tiger Woods or Elliot Spencer girls.
I thought dude's going to get rocked. That's
what I thought.
Wow. some of y'all may be getting it. How come we don't get that? I mean, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to break it down for me. I know for me, I'm too easy, fellas. I'm too easy. So, like, for her, when I'm trying to get her in the mood, you know, I'm bringing out the massage oil, the can, I'm doing all this stuff, trying to make it spectacular. And for her, all she got to do is say the word. And, you know, I try, you know, in my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm going to make her work for it tonight. Nah. All she got to do is say the word. I'm down, fellas.
So I think if we make them work for a little bit more, then we might get a little bit more of that loving.
Be like, rub my toes, take the toe jam out, you know, do something, you know, get me in the mood. But yeah,
right,
you're right.
I knew I took you on base with that one.
Well, I'm about to go a little bit further. Now, I'm going to hit somebody's street, and you're not even going to know it. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she stopped using that vibrator? Oh, ouch, boom, pow. You don't even know it. You might not even know it.
I don't know. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. That's just a little bit of steam on that. I'm going to stay away from that one. I'm going to stay away from that one.
Yeah, keep going down.
Yeah. Let me hit y'all with this one. I know you can relate to this one. Is the marriage you've always wanted, if you didn't have to take that week off because of that time of the month?
Dang.
Ain't no timeouts, you know. We good to go all month. Ain't no timeouts.
No, ain't no timeouts. I think we'd be in trouble. I think there's a purpose for the timeout.
That's when you go back to that one of the first questions. Is your ideal marriage when you start getting more head? So we go back to that one.
Oh, man.
You got to kind of balance this out.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try this one. Is the marriage you've always wanted, when she lets you bring another woman into y'all's bedroom just for one wild and crazy
man,
night?
Stop playing, right?
Nope.
Stop.
I'm about that game.
Rodney, playing.
Oh, man. Mm-mm-mm. Maybe I should stay away from that one, too. Man, it's
stay down, because that's not my game. I don't want to be in that game.
Yeah. Well, let me try this one then. Let me try this one. Is the marriage you've always wanted, when she lets you try going in the back door?
Man, I'm about to put this phone.
This grown man business tonight, brother. I told y'all last week. Yeah, I told y'all last week I'm going for the jugular. I told y'all that last week. I told you. I warned you. So put the phone down if you can't. Put the steam coming off tonight. Put it down if you can't handle it. But it's the marriage you've always wanted, if she lets you try going in the back door.
Hey, you know my wife listens to this call.
Oh, man. Y'all quiet tonight. Y'all quiet tonight. I thought y'all would like the 30-minute monkey wrench.
Oh, man, you're hitting them dead in the nose, man. They ain't got time to react.
That's like Connect. That's like boxing on Connect. TKO.
When you get to the third round, you are two through.
Oh, man.
Can't do it no more.
Well, since I got to stay away from that one, let me try another one. Is the marriage you've always wanted, when she becomes a little more flexible? Now, wait a minute. I've actually exited the bedroom. You know, I exited 5 minutes early since it was too rich for y'all tonight. But what I'm talking about in flexibility is when things come up unexpectedly, that she doesn't cop an attitude and get all bent out of shape. Just because things aren't going how she had wanted or planned. Just be a little bit more flexible, honey. A little bit more. Am I talking to anybody tonight?
You weren't talking about heavy behind the leg.
I was not. No, we've exited the 30-minute monkey wrench 5 minutes early. I'm talking about, can she be a little bit more flexible. When things come up out of the blue, you know, don't, it's like, come on. It's unexpected. That's why they call this, that's why they call it unexpected. You didn't plan for it. Nobody deal with that. Nobody's dealing with that. Been out of shape.
Okay.
I'm still stuck on the back door.
I think a lot of brothers stuck on the two or three questions previous.
That 30-minute monkey wrench was all right with me.
Yeah. Most brothers just sitting there like, wow.
Brian, I think we're saying all of the above, my brother, all of the above.
Good words, good words. Well, I know I can get y'all with this.
I signed up for all of the above.
Yeah. I see if yourself I get anybody with this. Is the marriage you've always wanted? When she doesn't take so long to get ready for bed. I mean, she's using all kind of face washes and creams, wrapping her hair, combing her hair. You know, it's like, come on. Nobody. Y'all still hung up in the 30-minute monkey wrench.
I'm still at the back door.
He's still knocking.
Still knocking.
Trying to get it.
Oh, man. You boys are wild. Wow. Well, let me try this.
Well,
let me
you
try
do answer the question.
Let me try this. Is the marriage you've always wanted? When she gets back in shape and gets back down to the size that she was when you first met her?
Now you're talking.
Yeah. Got a little bit of response from there.
Nah.
No?
Nah, because the baby fat that made it voluptuous too.
Hey, I second that, brother.
I'm good where I'm at. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm on board with that too.
Yeah. But one thing, they don't like the baby fat though. That's the thing. They're like, I got to get this weight off of me.
But that's our job, man, to just
what
make them know that we do.
What about the Big Mac fat?
The what? Big Mac fat? That's not associated with a baby, huh?
No, that's that back door. That's that back door jiggle.
Oh, man.
Meat and potatoes back
here. Well, speaking of the Big Mac fat or the baby fat, would any of y'all pony up and pay for her to have some work done, some cosmetic surgery? Yes, no, maybe
no.
So.
No.
No. Speak on it, bro.
Nah, man, I like it the way it is. But, you know, I mean, if there was a case where, you know, there was a medical need,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it builds up her self-esteem, then I'll do it. But if it ain't medical need, then we're going to keep it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And medical need, I'm basically saying like breast cancer, when you have to, you know, you may lose your breast and you just feel unwomanlike. I'll buy you some then.
Oh, man. That's good. That's good.
That's the only time. Spending my money.
Yeah. Is the marriage you've always wanted when you don't have to work so much and be kept away from your family just to make ends meet? Speaking to folks that's working a lot, away from the family. Nobody, okay.
Makes you want to come home more.
Yeah.
Get away from that.
Yeah. Good words. Let me try this. Did you get the in-laws that you always wanted? Talk Talk to me, fellas. Talk to me. Did you get the in-laws that you always wanted?
Man, you hit home run.
Brother, guys, some of y'all have just because some, you know, some of us have wives that listen to this.
Oh man. Nobody. Oh, you say I'm hitting home. So ain't no. I guess you can't even respond when I'm hitting them out of the park, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you always just adapt to, you know, that family life. So it's all about you and yours. It's not about outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, for some brothers, it's just like it doesn't even matter because it ain't got nothing to do with you anyway. And some is like they cool. So, you know, I don't mind hanging out with the family. And you probably got others that's like, man, look, if you're going over there, just call me when you're ready to come back home. I'll be right here.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
know,
some in-laws can cause real problems.
Yeah, speak on it, bro.
I'm just saying, you know, some in-laws can cause real problems. And I mean, I've experienced some of that stuff, man. It's just, it's not, you know, it just, I don't know, but you know, some people just not happy in their life, and they want everybody around them miserable.
Good words, good words. And speaking of in-laws and extended family members, is the marriage you've always wanted if you didn't have those extra family members living in your house?
That ain't gonna happen.
That ain't gonna happen?
Oh, am I not on mute?
Why is that not gonna happen, Andrew?
Hey, they don't build houses big enough like that for me.
Mm.
I'll help you out, but you ain't moving in here.
Oh man!
Because I'm like this. This is my castle,
mm-hmm.
and I can walk around the way I want to walk around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there can't be two kings in the castle. There can't be two queens in the castle.
Right.
And if you're an adult, you can't be up in this castle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. You know, I just figure, you know, relatives are like fish. After 3 days, they start to stink.
Mm-mm-mm. Good words, good words. Well, I want to play y'all this clip. This is only about 30 seconds. Take a listen to this, fellas.
When I have struggles in my relationship, I'll be honest. Sometimes it makes me want to quit. It makes me want to quit and start over. I don't know how many people play or have played video games, or not even just a video game, but a game in general. You know, maybe you're caught up in a game of solitaire. And you kind of get to that point where there are some moves that you can make, but it's, you know what, things just got a little too confusing, and you really just want to start over. And sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes the struggle makes me feel that way. Like, you know what, maybe this wasn't the right decision. You know, we're having these conflicts. Maybe this isn't how it should be. Maybe we do need to press rewind and somehow start this thing over again.
Is the marriage you've always wanted, if you could press rewind and somehow y'all could just start your relationship all over again?
Absolutely not. No, I don't think so. But I'm glad that wasn't my wife.
Absolutely not.
Speak on it.
I'm just saying, man, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Mm.
And certain things you got to go through.
Yeah.
And a man. You know what I mean? And then if you press rewind, who's to say that you wouldn't go through it all over again?
Replay it again.
Yeah, or worse. If you can't take the wisdom back when you go back, who wants to go through that crap again? You know, I mean, you want to be 30 years old again and be dumb and stupid? Come on.
Some people might want to be 30 again.
if you could take the wisdom with you and go back to 21 or what, but if you got to go back and be stupid in 21, come on, who wants to go through that? Not me.
I don't think anybody does, to be honest with.
Nah.
Yeah, I think they say 30 is the new 20, so 40 is the new 30.
30 is 30 and 40 is 40.
I hear that, brother. I hear
that. That's what old people say.
Good words, fellas.
You ain't supposed to go back. You're always supposed to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones who want to be 20 in their 30s, then, you know, their life is not straight anyway.
That's right. It's like the guy that's just a little too old to be at the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, I think I'm kind of glad about the drama that me and my wife went through.
Wow.
I think that I'm glad, you know, that I had the opportunity to see what I saw, and she got, you know, the opportunity to see certain sides of me, and we get, I mean, because, again, it's a learning curve, you know. And yeah. And without that, it's like, where you going?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, where are you going? But here's another quick clip. This is only about a minute for the next question. Check this out.
10:35, because talking about keeping score. Now, y'all know I love the dictionary. I spent a lot of time in the dictionary this week, and I looked up the definition of score. And score, by definition, means the numerical record of points made by competitors or opponents in a game or a match. And the key words there, brothers, is competitors or opponents. A competitor, by definition, is a person that competes or a rival. An opponent, by definition, is a person who is an opposing side in a game or a contest, an adversary. A competitor emphasizes the action in striving against one another. And an adversary, by definition, is a person that opposes or attacks, an enemy, a foe. A formidable adversary is an enemy who fights determinedly, continuously, and relentlessly. Now, I want to ask y'all, who is the real adversary, the real enemy, the real foe?
Is it your wife?
Is it your wife?
Nope.
So while, you know, we talk about keeping score, I just gave y'all the definition. When you keep score, it's all about an opponent, a competitor, a rival, an adversary. Your wife is not your rival. She's your ally. Y'all should be on the same team wearing the same jersey. This ain't the Colts versus the Saints, fellas.
Preach.
Y'all on the same team.
That was a clip from a show called Are You Keeping Score that we did in January of 2010, almost a year ago to the day, fellas. And I would have said it myself since that was me on the tape, but it just sounds so good on the tape. But is the marriage you've always wanted when y'all become teammates again instead of acting like opponents?
Definitely. I mean, when you can get past that heretic and anger and learn to, you know, compromise, you give in, they give in, and you're able to get things done. You see things developing better in the relationship. You see it get a little bit more in the bedroom. You see a little bit more of you getting house cleaned and clothes washed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And less nagging.
Yeah.
Because that's important, the less nagging. From a man's point of view.
Good words, good words. And, yeah, because we talked about that nagging last week, but I throw this one out. May not hit anybody, or it may. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she starts being a little more punctual? Must she always be running late? Yes, no, maybe so, maybe not. Maybe your lady's always on time.
Right now, it's always me running late.
Just because.
All right.
That's one of those things. I think that's one of those things that you just have to know your mate.
Mm-hmm.
And prime example, we got this couple that we hang out with from time to time. And she is always, we know she's going to be late. It's just, and he knows she's going to be late. That's the, you know, that's the funny part. He's a punctual person, but she isn't. You know, and he's accepted the fact that she's going to be late.
Mm-hmm.
He don't make up excuses. He don't walk in the door. He's always saying, well, you know, it wasn't me. Period. You know, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, that we just got to learn to live with, I think. I don't really think that that's something that can be correctable. Because you can present the argument, well, if it was important to you, you'd be on time.
Well,
but most people
have,
you have to. Most people are late to things that are important to them, too. I don't think most people, you know, discriminate. If you're a late person, you're a late person.
Yeah.
So this is what you got to tell that person. Anytime you go anywhere, tell them they get an invite. That before the wife sees the invite,
yeah, lie to her.
No. Write it on paper. You know, erase that four, put three.
Yeah. Yeah. Lie to her.
Yeah.
And so that way you know you're gonna get there by four. And then when she walk in, be like, "Oh, I think I'm late." They're like, "No, you're right on time." You're like, "Yes." That's an easy compromise.
That's funny.
Just bump it up and out.
That's funny.
You go to that well one too many times, she's going to start building that hour back in. You're still going to be late.
That's right.
Good words. I know this, Mike. I know this is going to get some of y'all. When you start to have the marriage you've always wanted, when your kids are grown out of the house and out of your pocket.
I don't know if kids going to ever get out of your pocket.
They're not ever out of
when
your
they
pocket.
Out of the house.
What? Oh, y'all, no, I'm not receiving that. They not ever out of your pocket?
No.
They ain't never out of your pocket.
Come on now.
Never.
Andrew.
Because, now listen, you leave them, they go get a job, and then if you got two daughters. Guess what you got? You got two wedding bills to pay for.
I know that, but after the wedding, bro, I'm done. What I'm saying is after the wedding, I'm done. I'm turning her over to the man that she's marrying. I'm done. You in his pocket
but,
now.
You know.
Huh?
Come on.
Huh?
He lose his job, then what? Who's she going to call?
Hey, he has to pull a, you know, he has to pull something out. You know, he has to do something.
Well, what is she
going to do? I'll be a last resort.
I'm just telling you, I'm a last resort. Don't come to me as a first resort. I'm the last resort. After you, you know, deliver papers or, you know, do what you do, well, I'm, you know, I might help you out, but it's like, you know, don't come to me as the first resort. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let me ask you a question.
But
let me ask
your daughter. She's going to come to you as the first resort because it's your daughter.
That's right. Would you want your daughter asking family members? And then you find out through the grapevine your daughter's calling Uncle Willie up for money for help?
Oh, no, I wouldn't want her to come to, I mean, if she come to any family, come to me first, but I'm just saying that, don't let me find out you are calling uncle or grandma or whoever, because definitely don't take it out of the nuclear.
You got to be the first resort.
No. I disagree. I do not have to be the first resort. I can be a resort. I can be a supplemental resort.
Hey, Rodney?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got good news for you.
Okay. Tell me.
All right, you see, your wife, she ain't calling her daddy because she got a man.
That's right. Good
work. Yeah, but you're a responsible man. Sometimes you're all responsible men, and they got to call him daddy.
Sometimes, but you know what? You know, she picked a good man, and if you raise your daughters and help them teach them right and show them what a good man is,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Then you don't have that whole deal.
Yeah,
things still
happen. I'm still trying to find out if she don't get married. What's going to happen? All women don't get married. You going to leave your girl hanging?
Sure. You see them independent women out there, you know, climbing the corporate ladder. You know, they do what they do.
Okay.
Yeah. Or they just, with a lot of men out there, with Ben, they might be on the, sometimes they might be in college, working on their careers. The next thing you know, they're looking around. Wait a minute, I didn't get married.
Yeah.
They might become a gold digger because they can't come to daddy. So, you know, let me just start, you know, being a gold digger.
I would hope I wouldn't put that in their character. I wouldn't endorse that either.
Yeah. And hopefully I raised them better than that.
You know.
But listen. Do we teach our daughters to end up with bums, or do we teach our daughters to end up with somebody that can take care of them?
That's the bottom line.
I teach my daughter to end up with someone that can grow with as she grows.
Sure.
My daughter's not going to need someone to take care of her.
I understand what you're saying, but as a man, you're supposed to take care of your family. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all do. Regardless what my wife brings to the table, if she don't have it, I got to produce it. Period.
Right. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
That is what women could never understand about being a man.
Yeah.
Okay? Because the bottom line is on us.
Exactly. My wife could be a technical gold digger legally. All of us could. If they don't have it, we have got to provide it.
We got to do it. Bottom line.
We got to do it. So we could be married to a straight up
man. A man is. Because you know it's on you. They can help
you.
It's wonderful. You appreciate it. But the bottom line, it's on me.
And that's the same conversation you're going to have with the man that marries his daughter.
Right.
Good words. Good words. And speaking of kids, is the marriage you've always wanted? When you get that vasectomy she's always wanted so that she can stop taking birth control?
Depends on the woman. Some women want multiple kids.
Don't
want a vasectomy.
Now, brother, that was actually a question I crossed off for tonight. Is the marriage you've always wanted when she quits bugging you about having kids? I crossed that off. Because I knew the audience, I knew my brothers, and I knew that, you know, that wasn't their case. But you just brought it back up. I mean, she keeps bugging you. Hey, can we have some more kids? When are we going to have some more kids? I want some kids with you. Stop bugging me.
We have kids. We might have from two different parents, but we have kids.
Wow. That's all you can say is wow.
Yeah.
That's like that Nissan commercial when the dude found out. You know what I'm saying? He's your half baby. He's looking at the car like, you know, I got to start all over. I got to go from a two-seater to a four-seater.
Yeah. Then he has twins or triplets or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So tell her to stop bugging you. Say, what do you say, brother? You already got kids. We already got kids. What's the problem here?
I just want one more.
That's the response?
That's the response to you. I just want one more.
Oh, man.
Depends on the sex that they have. If they have two girls, I just want a boy.
Boys,
I just want a girl.
So that can go, you know, that can go all, you could go a lot of different directions with that. Mm.
So it sounds like you need one more, Rodney.
Now, brother, you in my kitchen right now. Literally. I want to keep this thing going because I'm going to land this plane early tonight, fellas. This is great chat. I'm glad I'm all up and down your street tonight. But I'm going to take it up just a slight notch, just a bit. We're getting close. Listen to this. This time won't you save me. Baby, I feel myself enough. artist, Nicki Minaj. Is the marriage you've always wanted when y'all start going to church together on a regular basis? And what I mean by that, fellas, is, you know, some couples go to different churches, one person doesn't attend church, or one person, you know, just really ain't that into God or religion, et cetera. I mean, is the marriage you've always wanted when y'all start, it's a regular occurrence that y'all go to church in the same vehicle together,
yes.
Regular basis?
100% yes.
Mm. Speak on it, man. Speak on it.
I mean, that's because, I mean, you're following the rules and regulations of life. Is you know, God, keeping God first, not only in your life, but in your marriage. Because if she's telling you that, you know, I'm allowing you to lead this family. Two, I'm right here on your right hand side. Everywhere you go, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it helps develop your kids, because your kids, you know, they are mirror view, and they focus on what you do. So if they see mom and daddy going to church, even if they fall off when they get older in a while, they know at the end of the day that if anything's going to work, I got to do what my daddy did. Let's have all us in church.
Mm. And let me just take what you just said, brother. I'm going to take it just a little bit deeper. The strong fellas. Is the marriage you've always wanted, if you had married a stronger Christian woman, a woman who had a much stronger faith in God?
I say yes.
Hmm. Speak on it, bro.
I've been, it was my second marriage. My first wife, she grew up in church, but she fell out of church. She was a Baptist. I grew up Catholic church. Catholic church is, as I used to say, it's about an hour, period. You out of there in an hour. I used to say it's up or down, a few Hail Marys, and you out of there. And I didn't understand going to Baptist church. Now I attend the Baptist church. This is a young preacher. He's about 36 years old. But this is the church he grew up in. And, I mean, this brought me closer to God. It's brought my marriage that I can actually look at. I'm not talking about my first marriage. I used to say, when we get a divorce, you know, we're going to make sure the kids are okay. That doesn't even come out my mouth.
Mm.
Not even in jest.
Wow. Words, good words, brother. Anybody else? The marriage you always wanted, if you had married a stronger Christian woman, woman who had a much stronger faith in God. You lean on her, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Strong,
yeah.
Brother, strong. Strong, strong, strong tonight.
Yeah, but I guess it's like, I think some men take it. I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate here just for a quick second. Is that some men, it's just like money. They get intimidated when somebody, like with money, you know, the women's bread maker and bring home more bread, they may get intimidated with their woman being more religious than them, to the point where they be like, you go to church, I don't need to go. I'll catch up later.
Good words, good words.
I've seen that, but I mean, you know, somebody else may know a little bit more than I do, but that's one of the two things I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, I know some of y'all can relate to this one. Actually, a lot of y'all. Did it take an unsuccessful marriage, or unsuccessful marriages, for you to get that marriage you've always wanted?
Yep. Yep.
See? Told you.
But it's doing real well. And when you're in your first marriage, you know, we kind of separated on good, medium terms, not great terms, not bad terms. We weren't fighting each other. But when you see what you no longer have, and you look and go, wow, this is great. The hell was I doing for 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you don't know that you're in hell till you realize what you got.
Wow.
You really don't. You know, sometimes, you know, some of us have to go the hard way and realize, you know, hey, there's got to be better than this.
And speaking of better than this, brother, right where we need to be tonight. Do people envy your marriage and think that yours is the marriage that they've always wanted? Silence.
I think people look at my wife and I and think we have some kind of perfect marriage because of where we are, you know, in the ministry, and they think we don't have problems.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I would say they look at you and go, some of them do, some of them don't. It really depends on what you're dealing with. I have like a core group of people that I know that are married, and we have different ranges. Some have been married, me and my wife have been married about two years, and then others have been married 10 years, and we just get together, and, you know, you get to see from the older people what it is. It's not an envy. I think it's a learning experience from everyone. The older people are going, oh, yeah, I remember when we were that, you know, cuddly and everything, and the younger people going, oh, damn, that's what happens when we get older. We'll still love each other, but we don't need to be around each other all the time.
Yeah, and it's like that saying that you can tell an old couple versus a newly together couple, because when they eat in a restaurant, the new couple is looking into each other's eyes as they eat.
Yeah.
Whereas the oldie ways, they sitting there looking dead in the salad, dead in the chicken. You know, they ain't even looking at each other. Right across the table, it's like, all right, you know, how's your chicken? Yeah, it's good. All right, you know, just eating away, ain't even paying attention.
Yeah, but don't let someone else, you know, don't let someone up there walk around and go, come up there and either flirt with either man or woman, and the opposite. Why are you messing with my husband? Don't you know I put time in that?
That's mine.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but getting back to the question, does it even matter to you whether others view your marriage as one that they should model theirs after? Does it matter to you? I don't know if y'all have ever thought about that, but does it matter to you whether other couples are like, man, I want what that brother and sister have. I mean, that's the kind of marriage I want.
No, I want my kids.
You know, I think it's important that we reflect the light of Christ in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a marriage that and you know, as you start to proclaim Christ, you kind of get on the spotlight. People look at you like, okay, well, what has your marriage got? You know, and they start watching you. You know, and I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, when you start to realize that it's bigger than just you. You know, when you watch your children, and realize that your children are watching you, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think that's what one brother said. It's like, if anybody, you want your children to view your marriage as one that they should model theirs after when they get of age.
Yeah, that's what I think. Let the men show their sons how to be men, how to treat their women, and let the women, which is most important, show how they should be treated by that man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't put it on society, but we got brothers out there that aren't treating their women right, and the women are like, oh, yeah, well, I deserve that, or, you know, this is the best out there for me. And it makes you go, it depresses you sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, good words. But is there anybody on the line that's not married right now? Anybody? Anybody not married? Everybody married. All right, good. But can we get
all of these things that we've been talking about without being married? I mean, we talked about security, we talked about, you know, economic advantage. I mean, can we get all of these things that we've been talking about without being married? Is it possible?
No.
No? Why not?
Well, you know, a lot of stuff we're talking about is, you know, I don't want to say complex, but just the things that arise when you're dealing with a partner. And when you're looking at a partner, you know, that's somebody who, you know, picks up for you where, you know, you may be lacking. If you don't cook and clean, maybe she cooks and cleans and all this stuff. You can have a live-in girlfriend or something like that, but that's only going to last but so long. Once the novelty wears off, that's over. So when you're talking about, you know, maybe sex or, like my man said, gunslinging, maybe you can get that. But in terms of a partner, somebody to kind of go through these ups and downs, rearing kids the whole bit, nah, I don't think you can get it.
Great words, great words. And I want to tie this back briefly to the topic at hand, the marriage you've always wanted. Did you always want to be married?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Why not?
I had a very selfish life that I used to say when I was younger, because my mother's no longer married and my grandmother was no longer married and my great-grandmother was married a couple of times. All I wanted to do was just, I wanted to have what I used to call 30 minutes, that I could be out in 30 minutes regardless.
Mm.
And I never wanted to be tied down when I was younger. And it came from that, when I was younger, I had that strange mentality. And as I got older and joined the military, I had that military mentality. I can live out my bag, I can be out in 30 minutes, and that's all I need.
Mm. Yeah, that's strong. That's strong, brother. But speaking of saying I do, it's 11 o'clock. We're getting close to the end, fellas. I want y'all to listen to this clip. It's about a minute and a half.
How important are they really? Because it looks like we just say them that one time, and then we never bring that contract back up.
You're right. You're right. And the funny thing is, when I got off the call last week, I went and asked my wife, I said, do you remember our wedding vows? I know they were a little different. You know, because she got them from somewhere, you know, out of some book or something, I don't know. But I didn't remember them. And neither did she. But look, she didn't either, so I didn't feel that bad, you know. But it's like, okay, we got married, we did that, and we said this contract, verbal contract, that we don't remember. So where do you go from there?
Right.
And just like I was telling somebody the other day, when you buy a house, you sign a contract. You know if you're late after 15 days, you get a 5% penalty. You know if you're late 30 days, it goes on your credit. You know if you miss 3 payments, it goes into foreclosure. You know all those things going in.
And you
but
know how much it costs each month.
Exactly. But we tend to be married longer than we'll be in a house, hopefully. Hopefully you'll have plenty of houses together. But the one big move that we make, we don't even remember the verbal contract.
Oh, that's right.
And me included. I'm guilty because I don't know what. So I'm not pointing the finger because I'm guilty of it. She had to email them to me the next day. And honestly, I saw the topic of it. I still haven't opened it up because I'm already married now.
From this day forward, do you take to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do you part? Did y'all know that the words happily ever after aren't included in your wedding vows?
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah. Some people don't know that.
Mm-hmm. A good word.
Yeah, some people don't know that.
We talk to are mad because they're not happy and they think they deserve happiness.
So whose responsibility is it to assure that you have the marriage you've always wanted? Whose responsibility is it?
Yours.
Hmm?
Yours.
Mine?
Now,
for your marriage?
Yeah, no, you. you. Such as in yourself. It's
the
your
head of household.
Please make sure.
So you're saying the head of household's response?
Yes.
Okay. Can we get an agreement on that? Everybody agree with that?
No, I don't, because I think, you know, you. I don't care how much you want happiness. If your spouse, your wife, has decided that she's not happy and you're not going to be happy, I don't care what you decide. You ain't going to be happy. It's got to be a joint decision.
Yes, indeed. So that means you lose.
Okay. So, with that, what are you doing to help make your marriage the one that you've always wanted? What are you doing?
Twice a month.
Hmm? What are you saying?
A month?
You were breaking up. What are you saying?
Beating her twice a month.
Beating her twice a month. Oh, man. See, that's why you kept breaking up.
I mean, but, you know, you got to continue to work hard on it, man.
Yeah, and continue to talk about it. Talk to see what's missing and what you need to hear. You know, because not everything that you do is going to make her happy. Not everything that she does is going to make you happy.
Yeah. Right. Because it made them happy, you know, yesterday don't mean it's going to make them happy today.
Yeah.
So the past, you got to, you know, it's like our pastor said in the past, past is past, you got to. And the future's not here yet, so you got to live for the day. So.
Yeah.
I think it starts with a decision that, you know, you only have, you know, one of four choices. Married and happy.
You're breaking up.
Breaking up, brother. You want to repeat that? Hey, breaking up, fellas. But can you affect how your marriage can become both the one that you want and she wants in 2011 and beyond? Is it too late?
No, it's never too late. If it was too late, you wouldn't make it to 50 years. I bet you believe them ones that made it to 50 years did a lot of adjusting.
Yeah. P-Town, you got a TV on in the background, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, turn that down. Yeah. But what are some of the steps that you can take right now to start investing in the marriage you've always wanted? What are some steps you can take right now to start investing in the marriage you've always wanted?
Listen to her and make sure she's listening to you. Have an open level of dialogue, which is always sometimes hard for me, but, you know.
Yeah.
You need that. I think it's hard for us as men anyway, but it's probably extra hard with me.
Yeah, I think it's... Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't have that, you know, as I told you, mom was divorced, grandma's divorced, and you don't have that, that man to tell you what's going on and what to talk about and how to talk and how to share your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the chatters said, buy more gifts. Oh, man. But, I mean, I think somebody, you know, set up a night to discuss, you know, your marriage with your wife. You know, list the areas you're strong in, you know, and focus, you know, and also list those that you're weak in, you know, so you can agree to focus on celebrating what's working well. You know, focus on how to work towards improving on what's not working well. And you might allow her to suggest, you know, how you both can begin to make some improvements on both ends. But
right. And don't be sensitive when they tell you that you're not doing something right.
Exactly. Yeah. That's tough for us, though. We got egos.
Yeah.
But I think somebody said this earlier in the call, and they, you know, spilled the beans too early. But honestly, fellas, don't you already have the marriage that you've always wanted?
I do.
Right. I do. Right. I do.
Yeah. Why is that? Speak on it, please. Speak on it.
Just a decision. I'm not getting married again, and I got to make this work. Divorce is off the table.
Replacement is off the table.
Say what? What's off the table?
A replacement.
Oh, a replacement. Okay, off the table.
Is this your second marriage, can I ask? Or is it more than that?
Andrew?
Huh?
He said, is this your second marriage?
Third marriage.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, Andrew, what's the secret to your success, brother? What's the secret? Tell the brothers.
The real secret is understanding what marriage is.
Okay.
All right. Understanding that marriage was designed by God.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work if he's not in the middle of it. That no matter how much you want to try to make it under your own power, you can't. You're going to have weak times. But if you can count on him and realize that you, you know, you don't have the power to make everything work, and you can relate on him, take divorce off the table, that only leaves three options. Well, four. Married and happy, married and miserable, well, three options, and murder.
Yeah.
Okay, when I'm not one for being in a cell with Bubba. So that means married and happy and married and miserable. And I'm too young to be, 50 years of being miserable, so I might as well be happy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So when you have a spouse that sees it the same way and you take divorce off the table, and you figure that means either together and happy, together and miserable, or one of y'all going to kill each other, you figure, okay, we got to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds crazy, but that's really the truth.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
No, it really isn't.
So I realize it's not all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think you said something key in there. Instead of continuing to concentrate on our forward reflection, like you've done in years past, why not focus on the upward direction in 2011 and beyond, especially on 1-1-1-1-1, and it was just 11-11, too, on January 11, 2011. That's right where we needed to be. But final question, brothers. We have made it to the end. This is the final question. If I were to ask your wife, would she say that her marriage is the one that she's always wanted, the one that she's always dreamed of?
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. That brother said definitely.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Why, brother?
You'll probably say it's a work in progress. But for her, from a woman's point of view, men think they're simple, but women think they are probably more simpler than us when it comes to marriage. Just to have that protector, that shelter, that grown man's strength, holding them in the while they're in the bed in the middle of the night, they can throw that head on there. That's all they really want.
Yeah.
That companionship.
One of the chatters said she better say this to marry that she always wanted.
That's funny.
But I hope,
only go what she said.
Yeah, exactly. But I hope, fellas, I hope she wouldn't say if I asked her that she wished she had married a stronger Christian man, a man who had a much stronger faith in God. Hope she don't say that.
Yeah.
Good words, fellas.
Wow. I wanted someone that was equally yoked.
Yeah. And what I neglected to do in the beginning, which I often like to do, is to define what we're talking about. Let's define the word marriage. Marriage is the social institution under which one man and one woman establish their decision to live as husband and wife by legal commitments, religious ceremonies, etc. Marriage is the legal or religious ceremony that formalizes the decision of two people to live as a married couple, including the accompanying social festivities. Marriage is any close or intimate association or union. Marriage is a blending or matching of different elements or components. And finally, fellas, a marriage is a formal agreement between two companies or enterprises to combine operations, resources, etc., for mutual benefit. A merger. Every couple enters the gateway of marriage hoping their journey will last forever. Yet the reality is that half of all couples today, half of y'all on this phone, will probably split up because they're driving each other crazy and making each other lose their minds, which is a tie back to last week's topic. But it doesn't have to be that way. So what is it exactly that leads to unity and being able to maintain a loving relationship? The key lies in yielding our own faults and our own weaknesses before the throne of Christ and asking the Holy Spirit to transform our behavior, our words, and our attitudes. In other words, fellas, we should focus on changing ourselves and not our wives so that we can have the marriage that we've always wanted.
Amen.
That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of our virtual talk show brought to you by the Head of Household. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. And next week's topic will be... to be determined. Y'all like that. Y'all like that.
I like that because it gives us a little bit of mystery.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of mystery. A little bit of mystery.
That's right. A little bit of mystery. Doesn't hurt anything.
Not at all.
So for more information, fellas, please feel free to visit our website, householdstress.com. Again, that website, householdstress.com.
You are now free to move about the country.